universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. The meaning of the Magi, or the wise men, or the foreigners, the three kings from the east. We see them often on Christmas cards as part of the Christmas story, and yet it's not completely part of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 2, right after the birth of Jesus, it starts by saying, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born of the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." It's from Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. These wise men actually were doing a normal thing, taking gifts to a new heir, a new king, to the throne of a nearby country. From their point of view, it's a diplomatic mission, like dozens of others they may have done. Being wise and learned men of Persia, they knew much of the history and information from the previous empire that was in their land, that was of Babylon. They remembered that the Jews who were brought there by Nebuchadnezzar had a promise from God that with the coming of a new star in the sky, a king would also come to their people. Where do you look for a new royal baby? You should look at the capital city, right? In the palace, right? To the king's family, right? So that's what they did. They came to Herod in Jerusalem. As they did this, they were asking a powerful, controversial question, which produced a lot of conflict and anxiety. We're looking for a king to be king in a land where there's already a king? Of course Herod's going to get upset. He's the current king. But not only Herod, but all Jerusalem became upset at these visitors. Probably because Herod was an abusive king, and he took it out on the subject. So whenever an abusive king had bad news, everyone had bad news. He was afraid he was going to be deposed, Herod, for a baby king. Will this king be another Caesar? Will this king be another new Alexander the Great of Greece? Will this king be another Nebuchadnezzar or another Herod? Well, they went to the religious people who said this king will be born in Bethlehem of the line of David. So Herod sent them to Bethlehem. And when they saw the baby, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's in verse 11. The gifts kind of seem odd for a baby. We expect baby clothes, toys, things that'll be useful for a baby, right? For gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Well, these speak of Jesus' future. Gold is a gift meant for a king. Frankincense is used in temple worship, and it's a gift fit for a priest. Myrrh is used to prepare bodies for burial. These certainly were fitting for Jesus. He would rule as a king. He would be a priest, offering himself. He would die for our sins, you and me, on the cross. Our beloved wise men weren't part of God's people. That's what's so amazing with this story and why Matthew adds it. When he's writing to Jewish people, he speaks of Gentiles coming from the far east. Being Gentiles, they were considered outsiders, pagans, heathen. The wise men weren't deceived. They followed the star and the promise, and in faith they fell down and worshiped. Why do we worship? Well, it should also be one of a promise and of faith. just as a star was a new light in the dark sky of the universe, so Jesus is a light shining in the darkness of our sins, in the darkness of our hearts. The baby Jesus who we worship is the light. He enables us to see what we would otherwise not be able to see. The baby Jesus fulfills all promises. He's the Savior of all nations. And that's why these wise men came so far from the east to come and worship him. So, we come and worship him. Jesus, who's not only the King of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles, you and me. He is the light of the whole world. He shines on the disadvantaged and the handicapped. He shines on the scholars and the superstars, on sports heroes and the wealthy, on the unemployed and those considered failures. His light shines on us, who were strangers of God, foreigners of his people, nobodies to whom God owed nothing. His light makes us friends with God, members of his new covenant people, heirs of all his glorious promises. He is the light that shines in the darkness to the very ends of the earth. Matthew introduced these Gentile worshipers right at the beginning, even as Jesus closes off the Gospel of Matthew when he says to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." The foreign-born wise men follow the light shining in the darkness and fall down to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These first Gentile worshipers of the baby Jesus, they remind us that the church is to be a house of prayer for all nations. During the season of Epiphany, because Epiphany means shine on, it's good for us to recall the theme of light shining in those living in sin and disbelief. And now, the church sends us out into the world to be the light of the world, reflecting Jesus, the true light, that they may see, know, believe, and worship. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light of the world, that you came into the world, that you put a new star in the sky which led the wise men with the promise and with the star. Thank you for leading us with your promise and with the many visual and tangible signs that you provide along the way so that we might believe and follow you, knowing that it is by you that we have everlasting life, through your cross, through your resurrection. Lord, help us to reflect your light to others. In your name we pray. Amen. Love to hear from you. You can do so by writing me at dave.andrus@not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. dave.andrus@not-alone.net.